It's Matthew. I'm Matthew. Just going to welcome Tim up. Tim is going to bring God's word to us this morning. What a blessing this man is, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
I was hoping for a bit warmer response.
What a blessing this man is, isn't he? Yeah. Let's pray for Tim. Father God, thank you for Tim. Thank you for the way he leads his church. Thank you for the way he leads us in faith. And he's such a great role model for us as a man of God, a man of you. And we just pray for him now that you would just fill him with your spirit, fill him with your presence, and may that overflow into the words that he speaks to us this morning. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Dan. That was an unexpected. I'll pay you later, and then wonderful. Good morning, everybody. Great to be back again, isn't it? Can the slides up, actually, please? No, thank you. Because these last few weeks, if you've been around these last few weeks, you'll know that we've been working through a teaching series called Keys to Freedom. If you haven't been around, okay, you can listen to the ones you've missed on the website. Okay, stjohnsbowling.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the page, click on sermons, and you'll see, basically have a listen to all the sermons from the start of this year, okay, and you'll get into it. We've been thinking about how we all long to be free, don't we? There's this longing in each one and every one of us to be free. But if we're honest with ourselves, there are areas in our lives where we're not free. You know, there are things in our lives which prevent us from being the people that God has made us to be. There are things that we're ashamed of and we try to keep hidden. We don't want anyone else to see. And there are things that get in the way of our relationship with God. And they rob us of our joy. Okay? And we all go through times when we know that to be true. And maybe you're in a time like that now where you know that to be true where you're at the moment. And why is that? That's because we've got an enemy, haven't we? We've got an enemy. We've been thinking about this. We've got an enemy, Satan. Who says in God's word that your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. And Jesus said, you know, that the enemy came to steal and rob and destroy. That's why things are not the way they're meant to be. So we have an enemy who tries to trap us, deny us our freedom. But God wants to set us free from all those things, so that we can have life in all its fullness. Jesus said that's why he came, that we may have life, and life in all its fullness, knowing God as our Father and enjoying all that comes from that relationship, from being adopted into his family. You know, he wants that so much. He wants freedom for you and for me so much that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, to die on a cross, to pay the price to set us free. So our freedom has already been won for us. We don't have to earn our freedom. It's already been won for us by Jesus on the cross. And so we just need to learn how to step into that freedom, how to live it, how to live free. And we've been thinking about the steps that we need to take in order to do that. We're calling them the Keys to Freedom. And they're from a book by a guy called Neil Lozano called Unbound. It's a great book if you want to get hold of it. I can tell you about it later. But a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the first key, which is repentance. Repentance being the first key. In other words, turning away from those things that we know are wrong, or changing our minds. Okay, so changing our minds to actually believe that what God says is true. What he says about himself is true. What he says about us is true. That's the first step, repentance. Second step, forgiveness. We were thinking about that last week, how actually Jesus said if you know, that actually we need to forgive those people who hurt us, if we're going to be forgiven. And if we refuse to forgive people, then actually, it's not them who are in prison, it's us who's in prison. Okay? So that's the second key, forgiveness. Well, maybe you're sitting here this morning, you're thinking, yeah, well, I've done that. I've repented. I've turned away. I've told God I'm sorry for the things that I've done that are wrong and the lies that I believe. I've done that. And I've also forgiven everyone I can think of who's hurt or upset me in some way. But still, you struggle with the same issues that you struggled with last week and the week before, and maybe for who knows how long. You can't seem to break free from those destructive patterns of behavior, or that spiral of negative thoughts which takes you down and down and down. And so does that mean, maybe you're wondering, does that mean I'm always going to be like this? Does this mean that I'm stuck? This is it now for me forever. That things will never change. No. No, that's not true. It doesn't have to be this way. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And it says, it goes on to say, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. This is a promise of Jesus for each and every one of us. Okay, he wants to set us free, to be free indeed. And so there are other keys that we need to learn how to use. And this morning we're going to be looking at the next two, which are renouncing the lies of the enemy and taking authority in the name of Jesus. That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Now, I'm of an age now, I didn't think this was going to happen to me, but it's happened, where I like to look back to my childhood and reminisce about the old days and how wonderful everything was, okay? And what it was like growing up in the 1980s, which doesn't seem that long ago to me, but there we go. Fabian was born in 1989, he tells me today, so that's put me in my place. Anyway, and I love sharing with my kids, you know, stories about what we used to do and things we used to watch on TV. And does anybody else like taking trips down memory lane like that? Yes, okay, good, I'm not the only one. Does anybody recognise this lady? Next slide, please. Anybody recognise this lady? Who is it? Good dog. There you go. Have a look. There we go. Barbara Woodhouse. Barbara Woodhouse. Yeah, now, for those of you who are under the age of 44 and therefore have no idea who it is I'm talking about, even if you're over the age of 44 and you've no idea who I'm talking about, Barbara Woodhouse basically was this very, very posh lady, extremely posh lady, who trained dogs. And she had a TV program. She's really good at training dogs. And so she had a TV program teaching other people how to train their dogs. And she was so popular in the 1980s, everybody knew her. You know, all the impressionists did impressions of her. Can anyone remember her catchphrase? Who said that? Who said that? Put your hand up. Who said that? Good dog. There you go. Right. Okay. For the benefit of those of you who are under 44, here's a little clip of Barbara in action.
Now, just to make certain that you know all about your sit, which we taught on the last program, this program, we're going to teach the down. I want you to do one or two circles round. Proper voices, you know, walkies, sit, you know, everything right before we start the down. Are you ready? Stand up, get not too far apart from each other, because I can't watch you all otherwise. Go on, Mrs. Andrews, move on a bit, dear. Exactly like me pulling a leek. Shall I show you what you looked like as the leek came out of the ground? Ah, naughty girl. Now, will you remember that the sit signal is this? Sit. Not. Now, we'll do that once more. Do you see? So that you get it right. And will you? I didn't see the others, but I unfortunately was watching Harriet's Mistress. Now, we'll do it once more. Forward.
Wow. Now, I showed my kids a clip from Barbara Woodhouse, and they loved it. And so now it's sit. It's wonderful. Fantastic. Okay, so what was it about Barbara Woodhouse that made her so successful? That gave that impact. Authority. Thank you. Next slide, please. Authority. It was her authority. I've run out of biscuits. I'm sorry, Mrs. Johnson, I've run out of biscuits. Sit. Yes, thank you. Good girl. Barbara Woodhouse. Come on now. Come on now, calm down. Down. Barbara Woodhouse had this fantastic air of authority about her. Dogs knew that she meant business. And so did the owners, actually. Come along, Mrs. Andrews. And when she spoke, dogs and their owners listened and jolly well did what she said. All right? She had authority. But she didn't just keep that authority to herself. She gave other people the skills to exercise authority over their dogs. And the passage from the Bible that Matthew just read for us a few minutes ago is all about authority. Jesus was giving authority to Peter and, as we'll find out, to us, his church. But that authority was not over dogs, you'll be pleased to hear, but it's authority over the powers of evil that exist in this world and that seek to imprison us. And not just us, but the people that we live and work alongside. And one of the things that people found so amazing about Jesus was his authority. And we read in the Gospels of how Jesus arrived on the scene with a message. And the message was this: the kingdom of God has come near. And then he went about proving it, proving his authority. Everywhere he went, he healed the sick. He cast out demons. He even calmed the storm. How? Simply by issuing a word of command. So to the man who had leprosy, he simply said, "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy was gone. To the storm on Lake Galilee, it was so strong that his disciples, who were all experienced, well, most of them were experienced fishermen, it was so strong that they were convinced they were going to drown. And Jesus just said, "Quiet, be still." And immediately the wind died down and the waves became calm. To the evil spirits who had so tormented a man that he lived naked among the tombs, and no one, none of his villagers dared to come near him, Jesus simply said, "Go." And the evil spirits went just like that, leaving the man free and in his right mind. Just simple words of command: be clean, quiet, be still, go. Sorted. Kind of puts Barbara Woodhouse, sit, in the shade, doesn't it? Really does. Because Jesus had real authority. Jesus had authority over sickness, over nature, and over the powers of darkness. And his disciples, as they traveled round with him, they saw it firsthand. And crowds of people from all over the place were drawn to him. Some because they needed healing, but others simply because they just wanted to see what he was going to do next. He was like a traveling miracle worker, they thought. And who is this man, they wondered. And so when Jesus and his disciples get to a place called Caesarea Philippi, at the start of our reading, which is a beautiful spot right in the north of Israel, Jesus asks his disciples a question. Verse 13 in the passage that Matthew read, he says this. He says, "Who do people say that I am?" Who do people say the Son of Man is the question he asks. And the Son of Man, by the way, is simply, it's a term that Jesus used to describe himself. Okay, and they reply, well, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. In other words, they're saying that you're a messenger from God. Okay, and that's what a lot of people believe today, isn't it? That Jesus was a messenger from God. That's what Muslims believe. Jesus is a messenger from God. But then Jesus says this. He says, okay, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter, you can imagine it, can't you? He realizes the enormity of what he's about to say. Unless he's one of those people like me who just speaks without thinking. Maybe he's one of those, and maybe he's not struggling with the enormity of it. But whatever. He says, "You are the Christ." In other words, the anointed one, the one promised by God. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Mic drop. Boom. And Jesus replies, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." In other words, you've not worked this out for yourself. You've come to this realization, this understanding, because God has revealed it to you. You are so, so blessed. And then he says in verse 18, he says, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. In other words, he's saying, Simon, son of Jonah, Simon, your mum and dad might have called you Simon, but I'm calling you Peter. Why? Because Peter means rock. Okay, in the Aramaic that Jesus spoke, same word, Peter, rock. And Jesus is saying, the fact that you know who I am makes you a rock, Peter. And you're the rock on which I'm going to build my church. And this church, by the way, church, the word again in Greek is ecclesia, which means like a collection, a gathering of people. Okay, it's not talking about a building. You know, it's not talking about the Vatican or anything like that. It's talking about a gathering of people, a collection of people. And Jesus says, this church, this collection of people, and that's us, by the way, okay, is going to be so powerful that not even the gates of hell will be able to stand in our way. Listen to this. He says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or the gates of hell, the word for hell, the gates of hell will not overcome it. Not even the gates of hell are to stand in our way. And then he says this one. Next slide, please. See if this works today. It's not working. Naomi, do you want to mind moving it on a slide? Next one, please. Oh, that's it. That's perfect. That's it. Perfect. Sorry. Yeah, then he says this. This is in verse 19. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What does this mean? Does it mean, as popular belief would have it, that Jesus is basically saying, now, Peter, you've got the keys to let people in and out of the pearly gates. So you stand there and... No, it doesn't mean that. Because actually, if you've given your life to Jesus, you're in. You know, there's no going to Peter first and saying, Peter, is it all right? No, you're in. That's not what Jesus means. So get that idea out of your mind. What's Jesus talking about? Well, literally, the words, I will give you the keys, it says here, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. But literally, it's, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of the heavens. Okay? And it's basically, Jesus is talking about the spiritual realm, that unseen reality, you know, that is all around us. That is powerful, but we don't see, touch, or feel in the same way. So let's unpack that a little bit. Anybody here ever bought a house? Hands up, yeah? Okay, a few people. Anybody here got a tenancy agreement for a house? Anyone been basically given a tenancy agreement for a house? What the rest of you doing? Are you sort of... okay, anyway, it's all right. So, here's the thing, right? When you've got a tenancy agreement for a house, or when you've bought a house, what happens? They give you the keys, don't they? And when you've got the keys, that gives you permission. You go into the house. Yeah, you've got the right. You have the right to occupy that house, right? Now, imagine that you've been handed the keys to your new house, okay? And you walk down the road, through the front gate, up the drive, you put your keys in the door, you open the door, you go in, and lo and behold, there's a group of squatters in there. And some are cooking bacon and eggs in the kitchen, making a right mess. Some are sat, you know, on the sofa watching the TV in the rundies. Sorry for that image again. And you do not want to know what kind of a mess they've made in the bathroom. All right. But now, what do you do in that situation? Do you say, oh, well, they're here, so nothing I can do about it. I'll just go and make myself a brew. No, you don't, do you? You've got the keys. This place belongs to you. And so you say to this lot, oi, sling your hook, get out. You're not welcome. You're not welcome. After you've eaten the bacon and egg, did somebody say? They're trespassers. They've got absolutely no right to be there. You've been given the keys. You have the authority over what goes on there. You can allow them to stay if you want, but equally, you're entitled to tell them to leave, to order them out. And you know, these powers of evil that are at work in the world that we've been thinking about, holding people in darkness, they're squatters. They're trespassers. We may not see them, but they're around. They're making a mess of the world and they're causing damage in the lives of people whom God loves. But Jesus came to evict them. Jesus came into the world to chuck them out. And that's what he went around demonstrating. When he was doing all these things, healing people and casting out demons, it was a sign to show what he'd come to do. This is what it was about. Overthrowing the powers of darkness, kicking them out. That's what Jesus came to do. And Jesus says to Peter, because you believed the truth of who I am, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. In other words, I'm giving you authority in the spiritual realm. You have a part to play in establishing my kingdom on earth. And he goes on to say, next slide please, Naomi. He goes on to say, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What does that mean? Well, it means this. To bind, okay, basically means to put in chains, okay, to tie up or to forbid. It's like a metaphor also to say to forbid. Okay, and to loose means to release or to permit. And so Jesus is saying to Peter, because you believe in me, the words you speak on earth will have authority in the unseen spiritual realm. Okay, in the heavens, the heavenly realms. Okay, you will have the authority to tie up the enemy, to forbid the powers of evil from operating. And you will have the authority to set people free from the influence of those evil spirits. You have authority. And Jesus gives that authority to Peter, not just to Peter in his personal capacity, but to Peter as a representative of the church. Remember, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. In other words, that authority belongs to us too. If you've put your trust in Jesus, if you've given your life to him, surrendered yourself fully to him, you have that authority. We have it together with the church. We're to be those who tear down the gates of hell so that other people can be set free. Because Jesus' mission still is to overthrow the powers of darkness in this world. And he says that we have an active part to play in that mission. And that's such good news. That's good news for the world. But it's also good news for each and every one of us. Because it means that we don't have to be trapped by those things that have had a hold on our lives anymore. It means that if you've surrendered your life to Jesus, then you can walk free. How do we do that? Well, we need to step into the authority that Jesus has given us. Say that together. We need to step into the authority that Jesus has given us. To recognize that we have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Should we say that? We have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You know, those destructive habits and negative thoughts that sort of spiral around our minds, they're like squatters and trespassers in our heads. And they might be making a mess and causing damage, but they have no right to be there. And because we hold the keys, we have the authority to kick them out. How do we do that? Well, that's what we're looking at. Next slide, please. There we go. First, the key three. So repent, forgive, and then third key, renounce. Renounce the enemy. We need to tell them those negative thoughts and those destructive habits and whatever else. We need to tell them that they are no longer welcome in our lives and we want nothing more to do with them. That's what renouncing means. And we're basically telling the powers of darkness that are at work in the world and are seeking to drag us down, we're telling them that they have no right to use those things that we've been struggling with to hold us down anymore. That's what it means to renounce. It's like saying to the squatters, okay, you've no right to be here. Go. All right? So what is it that we need to renounce? Okay, next slide, please. We need to renounce the bad things that we've allowed into our lives. And that can be obvious things like, I don't know, pornography or drugs or, you know, you name it. The obvious things. But it can be more subtle stuff as well. Stuff like lying, like greed, Things like jealousy or resentment. Or it could be other things that maybe seemed harmless at the time, but things like, for example, involvement in the occult, in Ouija boards or going to see a spiritualist or something like that. And lots of people do that when they're spiritually hungry, when they're searching. Okay, but they're things that are not of God, they're things of the enemy, and so we need to renounce them. Okay, what else do we need to renounce? Lies. Lies that we've believed. Because often what keeps us imprisoned is lies that we've believed. Lies about God or about ourselves. And that's often as a result of horrible things that have happened to us in the past. Nasty things that other people have said to us. Things like, you're worthless. Or, God doesn't love you. He doesn't even care about you. Or, you can never be forgiven for that. And these are all lies, and they can get in, and we can start to believe them, and they imprison us. We need to renounce those lies about God and about who we are. Also, anything else that might be hurting us or holding us back. It could be negative emotions like fear or shame or a sense of abandonment. Again, often caused by things that have happened to us in the past. We can renounce those things. They don't have to have power over us anymore. But there may be things that other people have done to us, or people have done in the past. People further back in our family have done stuff which can have an impact on us. We call that generational sin. So it might be involvement in Freemasonry or involvement in the occult. And just as we can pass on our genetic sort of dispositions down the line, so the fact that I've got a ginger beard means that Libby's got ginger hair, okay, we can do that. But also, sometimes it seems that spiritual things can be passed down the generations as well. Okay, so if you know that back in your family history there's somebody who was a Freemason or there's somebody who was involved in the occult, actually that might still have an impact on you, and you can renounce it. We should renounce it. Okay, and how do you do it? You simply say, and you say it out loud. Because in the same way that if you walk into your house and the squatter's there, you can't think, okay, will you leave now? They're not going to go, are they? In the same way, when we're talking about these powers of darkness that are at work and these thoughts and whatever else that bombard us, they can't read your thoughts, they can't read your mind, but they can hear you. And so you speak out. You speak out and say, no, you've got to go. And so all you do is simply say out loud, in the name of Jesus, because it's his authority, in the name of Jesus, I renounce whatever it is. So what is it that you need to renounce? Let's just take a moment just to think about that. Is it pride? Is it lust? Is it greed? Is it lies about God that you've believed? That God doesn't love you? That God doesn't forgive you? Is there some destructive habit that you've allowed into your life which is holding on to you? And what I want to do, okay, and we're going to practice doing this now, okay? And I want you to think of something, okay? And then we're going to do it all together. And please do it all together, because otherwise I'm going to say it on my own and you're all going to know my secret hidden sins, all right? We'll just choose one thing right now. It's just a practice, okay? So we can do it. We are announcing it. But there may be other stuff that you need to do when you get home, okay? And we're just going to say, in the name of Jesus, I renounce, and then say what it is, okay? So, are we ready? One, two, three. In the name of Jesus, I renounce pride. It was just me, wasn't it? That's all here on the tape anyway. Anyway, so that's what we do. Okay, in the name of Jesus, I renounce and then say what it is. And there may be other things. There probably will be other things. When you get home, I want to encourage you, find some time to come before God and ask him, Lord, what is it that I need to renounce in my life? What is it? And then renounce each of those things in turn. In the name of Jesus, I renounce pride. In the name of Jesus, I renounce lust. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that I am not loved. Okay? That's the next step in reaching freedom. Because when we renounce those things that have bound us in the name of Jesus, we break the power of the enemy over us. It's like showing the enemy the door. And sometimes that's all that's needed. And once you've renounced those things that the Holy Spirit has revealed to you, the next thing is to thank Jesus for giving you victory. Thank him for giving you victory. Okay, next slide, please. Then key four. If you've surrendered your life to Jesus, if you've repented and forgiven all those who've hurt you, then the authority that you have is far greater than the authority of Barbara Woodhouse. Far greater. Once you've renounced whatever it is that the enemy has used to bind you, you can take the authority that Jesus has given you, remembering that it is his authority, it's not yours, it's the authority that he has given you, and you can use that authority to break the power of whatever it is that has enslaved you and command it to leave. And you do that by saying words to the effect of, in the name of Jesus, I break the power of pride, or I break the power of fear, and I command you to leave right now. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of fear, and I command you to leave right now. Let's say that all together. So whatever it is you renounced, now we're going to break its power and command it to leave. Okay? So, one, two, three. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of pride, and I command you to leave right now. And then simply receive the love and the blessing that God wants to pour into your life. And that, by the way, is the fifth key, receiving the Father's blessing. We're going to be thinking about that next week. So as I close, I just want to say this. Just some things, just to put things in their proper context. The journey to freedom is sometimes slower than we'd like it to be, okay? So the fact that you might renounce something and command it to leave doesn't mean to say that all of a sudden everything's going to be... It can be a process. You need to keep on doing these things, taking it one step at a time, and every time trusting in God's love and his faithfulness to his promises. The other thing I want to say is that we need to make full use of the other help and support that God has given to us. And so if you're struggling with addiction, you need to keep on going to your AA or your NA group or whatever other recovery group you're part of, okay? Because that's something that God gives us to help us to walk in freedom. And you don't need to do it on your own. Find a spiritually mature Christian friend to pray with you. And if you're not in a cell group, I can encourage you to talk to him. We'll see if we can put you in a cell group so you've got those close Christian friends with whom you can pray. And so as I wrap up, Jesus has given us, his church, authority, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. We need to believe that. And together, let's put them to use so that we're walking in freedom and so that we can lead other people in that journey too. Let's stand together. Father, thank you for giving us the keys to the kingdom of the heavens. Thank you that you've given us authority. Your authority. Please help us, Lord, to break free from those things which have held us back in the past. And help us, Lord, we pray, to lead others in that same journey. In Jesus' name, amen.